Our scripture reading is from Philippians 2:9. Paul was encouraging the church at Philippi to be one and to be humble. And he's trying to show them why. I was thinking about this earlier. How can I get you to see that you are to be humble and unified? I could tell you how bad you all are. That would work, right? Doesn't work that way, usually. I'm going to instead tell you how good God is, or how great is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of truth which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is, as it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." And now, hear this word from Philippians chapter 2. "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would write this word and its truth upon our hearts, and that it would show in our lives. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I, over the years, have grown in grace, I have become more and more convinced that I have no reason to be proud, and that I have ever increasing reasons to be humble. What do I have that I have not received? Nothing. I've received everything from the hand of this gracious Creator God. What have I earned before God? If I compare myself to His perfect standard and what I ought to be and what I ought to do, what have I earned? What have I gained? And really the answer is nothing. Every good gift is a gift. It is not a reward based upon merit. It comes from His grace, and therefore I haven't really earned anything from God. And also, as I grow in grace, I realize that my greatest problem is pride. I often think that I deserve something. You know, I'm a minister, and boy, that sermon, that was just spot on. And that advice I gave to somebody, it worked! It changed their perspective on things. And wow, that's a feather in my cap, isn't it? You know, God has used me to do something in the lives of somebody else. I deserve some praise, don't I? Don't I deserve acceptance, at least on that basis, or some kind of honor or some kind of applause for the things that I do for God? If you can't see through it, that's just pride speaking. But sometimes we can't see through it. I often turn the blessings that God showers upon me as a reason for me to boast about what I have done and what I have accomplished. And shouldn't I be applauded for it? Look at me. Sort of like a 2-year-old to his mom. Look what I have done. Shouldn't you honor me? That's probably the reason why when Augustine was asked, and you know this, you know, what's the secret of the Christian life? Well, let's see. First, it's humility. And then it's humility. And then it's humility. He also said this. He said, "Do you wish to rise? Begin by descending. You plant a tower that will pierce the clouds? Lay first the foundation of humility." So Paul is urging that kind of humility, that kind of war against pride in this passage. He's encouraging believers to unity. He's encouraging them to self-sacrificing love. He's encouraging them to have the mind of Christ, to have the mindset, the attitude, the servant-like, humble attitude of service that Jesus Christ Himself had displayed. And how does he accomplish this? He shows us Jesus, what He did in His humiliation, and now how He was exalted. And this is supposed to produce in us humility and unity and really awe. Because God humbles the proud and God exalts the humble. It is a rule with him that he will humble the proud and he will exalt the humble. Listen, let me read you a few verses. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. So Paul speaks of the humiliation, the humility, and the exaltation of Christ, and it really is to amount to how we're to respond to that truth is in unity, spiritual unity, and growing in grace, or humility. We are to mortify our pride because we know Jesus as he really is. Earlier he said, only comfort yourself, or conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, and do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another more important than yourselves. So in our text here, we read how God has exalted Jesus, how he has exalted him, and then why he did it, why he exalted Jesus the Christ. And then finally, to what end did he exalt him? So this is all to motivate us to humility and loving service, and it is also to enable us to practice humility and humble service. As we see Jesus as he really is, we just respond to him. So he exalts the humble. He exalted the Lord Jesus Christ, but how did he do it? Well, look at the text. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. He has highly exalted him. He gave him he super exalted him. He gave him the highest possible degree, the highest possible station. He super exalted Jesus. And he gave him the name above every name, the above every name name. Well, what is that name? Have you ever asked yourself that? You know, you've read that verse before. Well, he gave him the name that is above every name. Well, what name is that? Some people say, well, it is Jesus, but he already had that name. It means Savior, and that's what he did, but it was in doing that, it was in being Jesus that he received the name. Or some people, well, it was the Christ then, right? Or Savior, somewhere in there. Well, he already had that. That was the office that he fulfilled. That was the function that he accomplished. And when he had accomplished it, that's when he received the name. When Jesus, the Savior, completed the mission of the Christ, he was given the name above every name. But what name is that? I think the name is Lord. Look at the very end of the passage. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, this passage really has its background in Isaiah chapter 45, where you read that same phrase about every tongue shall confess. And there it is, Isaiah 45, you got to read that chapter. It's one of the most fascinating chapters in all of Scripture, where God calls somebody by name some 200 years before he was born and tells him what his life is going to be like and how he's been raised up as a servant. It was Cyrus. But then the whole thing is trying to demonstrate to us that God is God, that he controls history, that he controls all things. And really what this passage is saying is the Lord Jesus Christ, the humble Lamb of God who submitted to suffering and death, he is Lord. He is the Isaiah 45 guy who controls all of history. That's who he is. He's been given that name. He has been unveiled as God in the flesh. He is Lord. He is Yahweh. It is the covenant name of God. And it has been given to him upon the completion of his work. But why does God, the Father, exalt Jesus the Christ and give him the name Lord? He did it because he humbled himself. He did it because he fulfilled his mission. He did it because he honored the Father by suffering death, by becoming sin for all of us. Because of his humility, because of his submission, because of his obedient self-sacrificing service, because of the completion of his mission as Messiah, he became acknowledged as Lord. God highly exalts him because of his humility, because of his service, because of his suffering, because of his death. Hebrews chapter 2, but we do see him who was made a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Because of the suffering of death, he was crowned with glory and honor. And when he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And the right hand denotes the power of God himself, the one who exercises his authority. He is, in other words, Lord. Fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He served in humility. He humbled himself and God exalted him. That's why he exalted him, because of his obedient suffering of death. The work first and then the glory. The mission and then the full recognition of the authority. He was given a name that is above every name. He is Lord. He is the God-man, the divine human person. The Christ is the exalted Lord of heaven and earth. The man, and I'm quoting here, the man, Christ Jesus, the last Adam, the second man, assumed de facto sovereignty over the human universe. Over all the principalities and powers and heavenly places and over all other men, demanding that they submit to the authority of a scepter. That king's name is Jesus, at the mention of whose office someday every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, the divine human Messiah, is Lord. I've always wanted to know somebody famous, you know, somebody big, somebody important. You know, sometimes I wished I had a really rich uncle that would leave me some money, things like that. But I know Jesus. And he is the biggest possible. He has the name above every name. And there's something about knowing somebody in high places that gives us a great deal of comfort no matter what we go through in life. To know that every trial that you receive, every burden that you bear comes from his fatherly hand. Comes through the caring eyes and the compassionate hands of the Lord Jesus himself. Everything that comes to me comes from him. And because I know him, it's okay. Because he's controlling everything. And I trust him. So here, I guess you could almost call it the secret identity of Jesus is revealed. He is the Lord. He is God in the flesh. He is the second person of the Trinity. Again, back in that Isaiah passage, it says, truly, you are a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, Savior. You got to read that passage. And even this exaltation, this lifting up Jesus to the highest place and giving him the name above every name, that also fulfills prophecy. Isaiah 53, therefore, because, you know what Isaiah 53 is all about, this is at the end of Isaiah 53, because he has been willing to suffer on behalf of his people, therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. And then God the Father speaking to God the Son, Psalm 2 says this, ask of me and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. Jesus spoke these things, lifting up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. The Lamb of God has become the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he reigns, and he rules over all things. And there is a great deal of comfort in that. And knowing him, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as high and exalted, remembering that he was the one who took a towel and washed your feet, That's what will produce humility. That's what will produce unity. That's what will produce loving service. It is seeing Jesus as he really is and then just responding to him. Responding to what he has done for us. And what's the response? Every knee shall bow at this name of Jesus that he has been given. That is the end. He has highly exalted him that everyone should acknowledge it. That everyone should see him as he really is. That everyone should give Jesus the glory that he deserves. Going back to the present analogy, if you wanted to honor Jesus, you got to give him something that he wants. Not something that we think he wants. By myself, this is back to the Isaiah passage, by myself I have sworn, and from my mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear allegiance. That was back in Isaiah. And really what Philippians is saying is Jesus is that guy to whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And it says in the text, well, those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, what in the world does that mean? Sort of an ancient understanding of the world, that was the sort of the three ways that the world was divided. It was heaven, it was earth, and it was under the earth. That was everything in the universe. That was all of creation. That's really what he's getting at. But some people also say that it's referring not just to places or divisions of the created universe, but it's referring to people. The unfallen angels in heaven will bow before him as Lord. All mankind upon earth will bow before him, O Lord. Those under the earth, you could refer to them as those in Sheol, perhaps. Some people say it's the fallen angels and it's unredeemed men. But they will all acknowledge that he is Lord. And they will all, willingly or unwillingly, bow the knee to him. Everything in the created universe will acknowledge him as Lord. In other words, Jesus has universal sovereignty. The one who humbled himself is now exalted over all things. The one who fulfilled his mission is the God-man, and he will be fully acknowledged by everyone. Christianity will be vindicated. The truth will win out in the end. And that gives me great comfort, because most people today don't bow the knee to Jesus. And it is even difficult at times for Christians to bow the knee to him in everything. Because sometimes we come to Jesus and we say, well, I will acknowledge you as Lord as long as I don't have to follow you as Lord in this thing, whatever it is. And it's different for all of us. But most of the world today laughs and ridicules at the God, the one that we call Savior and friend. They consider it a fairy tale, not worthy of their consideration. One day they will change their minds. And they will see him as he really is. So Christ will be vindicated. Christianity will be vindicated. Truth will be vindicated. All to the glory of God the Father. For he, Jesus, must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. So God will not be fully satisfied until Christ and his church are fully and finally glorified. And that's what's happening in the world today. That Christ and his people will be glorified. So, how am I going to extract humility in humble service in unity from you? I could tell you how bad you are, or I could tell you how awesome Jesus is. And I could tell you that this awesome Jesus, who has the name above every name, who rules over all things in heaven and earth and even under the earth, who will one day be honored and glorified by every created being, I could tell you that he speaks to you now and he says, I want you to come to me. I want you to acknowledge me, not just then, but I want you to acknowledge me now. And if you see him as he really is, you realize that he was the humble Lamb of God who is now the Lion of the tribe of Judah, then you see that God humbles the proud and He exalts the humble. And because He did that for me, I will follow Him. I spent most of my teenage years looking for somebody worthy to serve. Looking for some cause greater than myself to give my life to. And I was roundly disappointed with everything I tried. Everything I looked to except Jesus. Here is one worthy to follow. Here is one worthy to serve. Here is one that is worthy to have my knee bow to and to serve this one. Because look at who He is and look at what He has done. And even those who bow in humility to the Lord Jesus Christ, what does He do to them? He exalts them. He doesn't put His foot upon their necks. He doesn't crush them. Here is one worthy of our service. Here is one worthy of our lives. Here's the one who knows what is best for me. One person put it this way, God is not a grasping, self-centered being like we are. He is most truly known through the one whose equality with God found expression in His pouring Himself out in sacrificial love by taking the lowest place, the role of a slave, and whose love for His human creatures found consummate expression in His death on the cross. That this is God's own nature and doing has been attested for all time in Christ Jesus' divine vindication. He has been exalted by God to the highest place, and having been given the name above every name, the Lord is none other than Jesus Christ. So will you come to Him? Will you bow to Him? Will you serve Him? I already know the answer. Absolutely you will. Without question. The only question is when. Will it be now or will it be later? Will it be willing or will it be unwilling? But He is Lord, He is Savior, and He could be and should be friend to you. The one who is exalted over everything comes to you in all humility and says, "My son, my daughter, give me your heart." And it is knowing that you are received into His favor, knowing that you are received into His family, that will produce loving, self-sacrificing service. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You have given Jesus as an example. You have given Him as the hero. You have given Him as the one who has conquered mankind's greatest enemy. And Lord, He has come in humility. And You have highly exalted Him so that now, even today, He reigns over all things. And as the ruler of the kings of the earth, He comes to us and says to us, "Come to Me. Bow to Me. Receive Me. Receive My grace, My forgiveness, My favor. Be welcomed into My family. Become My friend. Humble yourself, and you will be exalted in due time." So Lord, help us as we see the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up. Help us to respond in humility and wonder and love and in grace, because our Savior is now the ruler of the princes of the earth. And help us to come to Him, to serve Him with all joy and with all humility. And help us, Lord, to do it together as the bride of Christ, as the ones who have received such astonishing blessing. Knowing, Lord, what we have received and knowing who You are, help us to respond in love and humility and service. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.